Time to check in once again with Quincy City Council President Ian Kane to get an update of the December 8th council meeting. Hi, Ian.
Hey, Joe. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. It was a pretty lengthy meeting last night.
Yeah, it was. There were a number of items on the agenda. We started off at around 7. I mean, there was an ordinance committee meeting at 6:35. And Councillor Liang gave an update on the resolve that she had put forward asking for National Grid and Riley Brothers to come and give a testimony of what took place, the accident that occurred over on Southern Artery and Broad Street. They did reply apparently to Councillor Liang's resolve that was passed, and they said that, you know, it's an ongoing investigation and they'll be happy to come and give an update after. You know, of course, it's better than nothing, but still, you know, disappointing. It's a pretty awful circumstance. So, just wants accountability and more answers, of course.
Right. Well, as you pointed out last time, they didn't even have to reply. So I guess that's a start.
Correct. Absolutely. They did not have to reply. So at least it's something is better than nothing. It doesn't, exonerate them from what took place. And we'll see what happens from there.
Right. And I know this is her time in office is ending, but that doesn't affect the resolve. Is that right?
No, I mean, the resolve was passed. And I mean, everything sort of gets reset. There'll be nothing in committee if it's resubmitted by someone else to have them come, then great. But otherwise, the issue was passed, and that's kind of it.
Gotcha. Okay, very good.
Then we went into a public hearing for the property tax classification for the fiscal year 2026. John Rowland, the chair of the Board of Assessors, was there to give a presentation on the state of the tax classification. And so, you know, every year this is the 10th year doing this, and it's the same presentation. The process doesn't change. It's guided by the state tax policy, which, you know, the municipalities have to follow. It's a confusing subject, and nobody wants to pay taxes. No one wants to pay taxes. It doesn't matter how much the taxes would be. There would be no amount of tax that someone would probably like paying, right? Because it's all subjective based on the value that they're receiving and or their ability to pay for those taxes and how it affects their personal finances, right? And we are in crazy town, right? Like, things just aren't the same as they used to be. And so, you know, we heard, you know, there were many people that came up and gave testimony last night. And I hear them all. I really do. It's like, I think that in this world that we live in, where everyone sort of, I think everyone feels very out of control about circumstances. And so, you know, they have to figure out where they can grasp onto something that is within their control. And most recently, this has been, you know, for a group of people at the city council level, which is fine. I think that there are certain aspects of the budgeting that that govern this process. There are certain market forces that govern this process in terms of the valuation and assessment of properties, which, you know, single family properties are the most desirable asset, and no one's building them. No one's building them. There isn't property for, I mean, there of course is property to develop single family homes, but the capital does not support the development of single family homes. Capital supports the development of multifamily properties. And yes, there are incentives that go into some of those projects that you see. The Grossman project is actually a very good example that we talked about, you know, last week or two, whenever we last spoke. Small incentive, state level support needs to get approval before the city incentive goes forward, but the return for the city is a, you know, a considerable multiple, right, in terms of new growth. So, you know, economic development, you know, the budget management and the tax classification. No, the tax classification is an easy decision, but the management of the tax levy, they're all difficult equations. Like, and I'm not the executive. I'm not the one that has to balance needs and wants. And, you know, and I certainly support, you know, all the work that we see in Quincy that is yielding growth, you know. And I think, again, everyone's interpretation is different, and they're entitled to that. But what we've seen year over year, we saw $6.7 million in new growth to the tax base. That's seventh out of 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts. That's not bad. You know what I mean? It 6.7 million doesn't sound like a lot, but if we're at the top of that heap, then you know that says a lot about general new growth in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, which I guess isn't really saying that much, right? I mean, there are reports all over the place. I don't know if you've been following, but just in the Globe, I think the other day, there was an article that one in three residents in Massachusetts is considered leaving Massachusetts because of the high cost of living. So, you know, this isn't to excuse any decision making or, you know, budgetary considerations or the tax levy that will be set next week, but we're in a precarious circumstance generally. Federal aid is down, state aid is down, and in some cases, misappropriated, right? And then that trickles down to the local level. Now, fortunately, we do have some of this new growth to offset some of these reductions in support from the state and federal level. That can't be said for many cities and towns in Massachusetts who are mostly going through tax overrides, Proposition 2.5 overrides in order to fund projects or to fund basic operations. And they're not, you know, most of the smaller cities and towns aren't taking in growth like Quincy's seeing and attracting. So I just want to sort of like set that because I think there are so many factors that fit into this equation. And you know, I empathize with residents who are coming to financial issues where it's like I need to make a decision between, you know, how to pay this and how to pay that. And every year there's always a request about tax exemptions or tax abatements. And you know, those are outlined whether in the pamphlets that the Board of Assessors puts out, but they're also mandated by the state. So, you know, any sort of new concept around that would have to be proposed to the state level, whether we, you know, or whether some city council proposes that through home rule petition and sends it up and see what happens, or go to our state legislators and have them promote some concept because, you know, they have a hand in this too. You know, and the interesting concept, you know, we've talked about this in years past. Particular groups look for particular treatment. So, you know, veterans get a benefit, seniors get a benefit. I think, you know, there are folks that are on fixed incomes, and I think it's almost an unfortunate thing because at some point in time, somebody was advised that they could live at a certain level, right? Somebody told them that they could live at a certain level, or they decided themselves that they could live at a certain level and make continual fixed payments, but it didn't match with the realities of the cost of living and inflation, you know? And that is a really unfortunate circumstance that you know I personally don't have a solution to, but it's something that has to fit into a balanced equation, obviously going forward. Because you know you have to make living palatable for people. And I mean the city can only do so much, right? You know, last night we were presented with making a decision on splitting the residential factor. So, you know, this is something we've done every year. I've been on the council. We split it to the lowest amount possible taxed, which would be 75%, as opposed to the full 87 or so. So we shift the burden to the commercial and industrial and personal property tax. So we didn't take that decision last night because the tax levy has not been presented to us. And so we decided to push those decisions off to next week so we can have a more holistic discussion about both the residential factor and the tax levy that'll be presented.
Oh, okay. Was there an explanation from the administration about why the rates weren't available?
Let's see. I wrote down some words. It just sounds like there's some. I think they're trying to figure out, frankly, how to get it to the lowest number, right? Or certificate. You know what I mean? I think that's what they try to do every year. There was a discussion last night about the free cash application, which we do every year, which most cities and towns don't do because they don't have. I guess, you know, they're not either not fortunate or they don't take advantage of that. So I think those orders will come in next week. I think they're trying to see where they could do sweet, you know. I don't know. That's my interpretation. It's like let's see what's the best possible number that we can get to. That's all I can surmise.
Okay, all right. So the vote will be on whether or not, as you say, to split the rate, right? Is that right? To put the burden on commercial property?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll vote on the tax levy.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. So will the public hearing continue
It
also again?
will.
It
Yeah,
will.
we'll keep the public hearing open. Or we'll reopen it back up next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well,
All
we'll
right.
talk again next week if that's
We
okay.
will talk again next week. Okay. So then Council Devine put forward five appropriations from a Ward 4 mitigation fund to various organizations, including QCAPS, Southwest Community Center, TPAL Department. The Southwest Middle School in Lincoln Hancock for PTO activities, Southwest Middle School PTO for equipment, and for Southwest Middle School PBIS program, which I don't know what that stands for. And neither does this appropriation, but
Okay.
nice gesture from Councilor Devine to allocate those funds to community organizations. And after that, Mayor Koch put forward an order to adopt a particular law that was passed in the state legislature on concerning the safety of school children boarding and embarking and disembarking school buses. So this will apparently allow the city to install, quote unquote, start stop arm cameras for student protection as they get off and on buses. So,
Okay, was there any funding request that went along with that?
no funding
No.
requests, just acceptance of the law.
Okay, very good.
There was another order to allow for an easement for a particular property in North Quincy that is being developed by Tremont Asset Management. This project was approved, I think, a couple of years ago. And it's needed for the installation of, I guess, one street is owned by the state, Hancock, and then another street is run by the city, which is Newport, and that's the intersection. And so this is granting an easement and restrictions necessary to allow for the installation and maintenance of certain utilities in the city's land.
Okay, very
Okay.
good. Yeah, that's where Burt's Electric used to be, I think.
That's where, yes,
Yeah.
correct. Yep.
Okay.
Domino's pizza there.
Great. Yep.
And then the last order presented last night was for using the Chapter 149A construction manager at risk delivery method for the construction of the, not construction, I guess, but the planning of the performing arts center in conjunction with a presidential center. So this is procedural. There was no financial request attached to this. There was a short discussion on location, and it was mentioned that this would most likely be in the Monroe Building parcel. And that was about that. Everything passed, by the way. All these things passed.
Okay, yeah, the mayor has mentioned the Monroe Building in the past as a potential site for that. Very good.
Yeah, and that was it. So we've got public hearing starting at 6:30 next Monday, the 15th of December, and then we'll go into the council meeting after that.
Okay, all right. I know it was suggested last night too, Ian, about maybe taxing larger residential properties at the commercial rate. Is that something that's in the council's purview, or would that's
No,
no,
that's
no.
not. As I said, tax policies at the state level. And
Okay.
so this isn't something unique to Quincy. And this is something that's come up. Again, it comes up every year. I think years ago, one of my former colleagues had proposed a certain threshold for multifamily properties, maybe
Yes.
like three or four units. And again, I think the interesting thing about real estate too is I'd love to take a poll, and I think that the board, the assessor's office, knows the answers to these. But one. Owner-occupied residential in Quincy is, I think, above 85%. Last I checked a year ago, so it's not like a huge, between the multifamily properties, or at least that would be owner-occupied. Second, Everyone, if they could, wants to be in real estate. And I think a lot of the shortages that you see in the single family home market is because they've been gobbled up by individuals or families and or businesses that use them as income properties, right? Which takes them off of the market for a family and then continues to limit demand, or supply rather, for the demand that's out there.
Right.
So in some of these buildings, I mean, I don't know why these multifamily properties are considered residential. Maybe it's because they're ultimately domiciled as a corporation in some jurisdiction, and so there's different taxes that are applied. Certainly, it depends on what state. You know, I bet most of these are domiciled in Delaware or something like that, and that tax money wouldn't come back to Massachusetts. But I'm just guessing it has to do probably with some sort of multiple level of taxation or, you know, sort of business consideration there. That's just my guess. I don't like, in theory it makes sense, but I don't know why it isn't done in practice. Like, it sounds very logical. Let's tax these things as commercial properties. But I maybe there's a big residential development lobby out there protecting that. I have no idea. But yeah, that's that.
May be a question for the state delegation.
I think that's a great place to direct it.
I will do that.
Yeah, that's good. You got access to those guys.
I do indeed.
So,
So does
yeah.
everybody, as a matter of fact.
That's true. That's true. I
Okay.
mean, it, you know, Joe, some of these I wrote down when people were talking last night. Like, it just cities and towns are not the places like Newton and Medford are reducing their trash pickup. You know what I mean? Like, things aren't good. This is a trickle, you know? And I still, I you know, I some difficult decisions I'm sure will need to be made, but when you start seeing things like that happen, that's a very dramatic change in quality of life.
Well, I mean, I've worked in Quincy 40 years, and it did happen here too, during the 80s. There was a talk of closing fire stations and, police layoffs, teacher layoffs. So
So it's
it has
cyclical.
happened here.
Yeah, it's cyclical. Well, I mean, schools have closed, right? Schools have closed. Schools have been, and all that depends on population. It's actually really interesting when you go to, I don't know if that exhibit is still on the first floor of the Old Town Hall, but you look at the population of Quincy in 1925, and I think it was like 60 some odd thousand.
That's
So it was
right.
a huge population. Because I mean, we're only at 100 today. So I think, you know, obviously there's dips and turns, but in a large part of it was the economic base that was driven by industry that was here.
That's right. Yeah, it's city has
So,
switched from blue more white collar from blue collar for sure. Yeah. Ward three, anything, Ian?
nope, we're wrapping up, man. This is we've got one more meeting, and that's that.
All right. Well, we will check in on the 16th, if that's okay.
Of course.
All right. Thanks for your time, Ian.
Thanks, Joe.